Sheep. How can you laugh when you know I'm down? Imi Belton of Vila, Formuts and Sriu album O Destiny's Child. Shane Thayma Ta'an, Nokuok Colleen. Sean Hied album La Beyonce, Kelly Rowland, August Michelle Williams.
I worked hard and sacrificed to get what I get. Ladies, it ain't easy being independent.
Don't stop believing.
Igavil Sini, Honak Mut and Hied Achter, The Glee. Aaron Show, Han Sheet, Journey, Don't Stop Believing. August Kuishe into Hied Spotas Nikartacha. Aaron Dehulad and Mi Baltana, Mila Nigat Shaska, Rogan Railed Moore, Paul Hewson, aka Bono, Imalioch Lia.
That's Crack August Kuhl on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Across Cork, Limerick, Clare, and Galway.
On your phone.
And on your smart speaker.
This is the home of the 80s and 90s.
This is Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Good evening, I'm Aidan Delaney. Vulnerability assessments of asylum seekers have been discontinued since March. 800 people are currently awaiting an assessment as the government plans to outsource to a private firm in the hopes of resuming the services by the end of the year. The questionnaires allow the government to see what additional needs, such as healthcare, would be necessary for an asylum seeker. The Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, says he wasn't made aware of the services being stood down.
But certainly the service that we're committed in on the health side and with the HSC to providing is that everyone coming in through IPAS, everyone coming in through temporary protection would get that health assessment. So there may be pressures because of the significant increase in people we've had in.
The Dublin to New York portal was back up and running today, but has now been closed off until the end of the week. The live stream was temporarily shut off yesterday after people in Dublin were seen mooning and holding up footage of 9/11. More flashing incidents today mean the video will be paused until a satisfactory way of blurring it can be found. The company that runs the video portal are looking for ways to deal with people who are getting too close to the camera. The prosecution star witness in Donald Trump's hush money trial has admitted to lying under oath, but says he did so out of loyalty to the former president. His former fixer, Michael Cohen, has also told the New York court of an Oval Office meeting to discuss payments to Stormy Daniels. Mr. Trump denies fraudulently covering up money given to the adult film star. And police in northern France are hunting for a man who's on the run after escaping from a prison van which was ambushed by gunmen. Two officers were killed and three more are in a serious condition in hospital after the attack. Mohamed Amra, who's 30, has links to a gang and drug dealing. Sky's crime correspondent Martin Brunt, who's in Normandy, says the escapee is nicknamed The Fly.
One suggestion that he's a man who's suffered a lot of convictions but only ever served very short prison sentences. So in a way is deemed to be somebody who is very difficult to swat away.
And that's your news for now.
Ireland's weather.
With McCarthy Insurance Group. For better value home, farm, motor, life, health and business insurance in 2024. MIG.ie.
Scattered showers will continue in the south tonight, but it will become dry with clear spells elsewhere. Lowest temperatures of around 7 to 11 degrees. You're up to date with home of What Did Lucy Kennedy Say to Colm Hayes? Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Now, Nighttime Talk on the home of the 80s and 90s.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Hello, good evening, or welcome back to Hour 2 of Nighttime Talk. Lauren O'Sullivan is my name, and you can get involved by texting 087-188-0008. So many messages coming in on open relationships. I'm going to get back to it in just a sec. But in the next part of the show, we're going to be talking about... Well, we're going to be talking around a sex abuse case over in the UK because I don't want to get into the details of the particular case, but it's about a female teacher who's been accused of having sexual relationships with her underage male students. And it did kind of get us chatting out in the office a little earlier on about how differently we feel about female abusers and how we see, I suppose, male predators as just that, predators. But do we sometimes see female abusers as predatory? Like, do we take it seriously enough? I think if you see a headline, like some of the headlines you might see in some of the UK newspapers this week around this case, you know, is it take, or does it have the same shock factor as if it was a male teacher and a young female student? What are your thoughts on this? I think obviously we all feel very protective of girls. There have been so many horrific stories and cases of abuse, but there have also been many cases of abuse towards younger men, boys. Do we take that as seriously? Maybe, I suppose, in terms of like the Catholic Church, of course, there have been so many young men affected here in Ireland by those kind of cases. But what I'm talking about is these kind of headlines around teachers and older teachers, younger students, those kind of stories. Like, I think if you see in the papers that a 16-year-old boy has hooked up with his teacher, you're likely to give him a high five. Whereas you'd be very concerned if a 16-year-old girl was hooking up with a 25 or 26-year-old teacher. So I want to hear your thoughts on that in the next hour here on Nighttime Talk. Do we treat female sexual abusers differently than male abusers? 087-188-0008. But just to go back a little earlier on, there are still so many messages flying in about open relationships. And we had two texters in particular get in touch about their own personal situations. One woman was saying that she's 48. Her husband has lost his sex drive. They now are in an open relationship. She's very happy. She takes good care of herself. Her kids are older. Everyone is delighted. He is obviously minding himself, still in recovery, and she can go out and have a great time and she's enjoying a great sex life. There were so many people texting in reaction to her. This listener says, my girlfriend would be out the door if you want to sleep with anyone. Everyone, you shouldn't be in a relationship in this new age. This is why the world is going downhill. And that's kind of what Margaret was saying a little earlier on. If you really love your partner, you shouldn't have any feelings or thoughts about sleeping with someone else. But people do have thoughts about other people. I suppose it's whether or not you act on them. And then we had this listener get in touch to say that she's in an open relationship, but we weren't too sure if maybe it was more of an affair because it didn't sound like his wife was in on it. So that was quite interesting. I'd still love to hear back from you on that one. Please do text in more info. 087-188-0008. This is Nighttime Talk on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. My name is Lauren O'Sullivan. And joining me now on the line is Jen Cameron, who's a couples therapist and relationship expert. So she helps couples with emotional and physical intimacy. You can follow her on Instagram, Jen_Cameron_. Jen, you're very welcome to Nighttime Talk. Thanks for your time.
Hi, Lauren. Thanks so much for having me on.
Tell me about being a couples therapist and relationship expert, Jen. How do you firstly get into that field? Like, what did you have to study? What are your qualifications? What's the job like?
Well, the job's amazing, and I think that for me, I was always intrigued by relationships, why we fancy certain people, why we click with certain people, why we don't. And when I studied in psychotherapy, it became really evident very quickly that everyone that fits into your therapy room is always talking about other people in their lives. So relationships are fundamental. You know, we need people to survive and thrive, and whether they're family members or intimate relationships, we're always talking about another. We're so impacted by everybody around us. So that's what brought me into the relationship speciality. And then the complexity of it. You know, everyone is unique and every couple is unique, even within a level of norms. So we would say there's five things that most couples will go through that will cause them trouble in their lives: finances, intimacy, parenting, communication, in-laws. They're typical things that most couples at some point will come up against throughout a relationship. And so there's commonalities, but then each couple is unique in their values, their morals, their views, what they want, what they don't want, what their fantasies are, what their realities are. So I just find that fascinating, and that's really what I deal with each day when I'm working with couples, is a variety of different challenges and yet very similar.
I was saying earlier on that we all think that our normal is normal, you know, so how we operate mm-hmm. in our own family situation, our own relationship. And then when you see, you know, you might get a snapshot of another couple's relationship, you're like, oh my God, like I couldn't live with that. I wouldn't stand for that. I wouldn't put up with that, you know, but everyone has just their own normal. When people sit down with you on the couch with you as their couples mm-hmm. therapist, do they just assume that they're the normal one?
Absolutely, yeah. Like, and everyone just, when you meet somebody and you decide, oh yeah, this is our relationship, this is how it is, a lot of times people presume that that's what everyone else is doing, or it's the same, or it's not too far out. But really people have no idea, because we're not open enough in Ireland yet. We don't really discuss real relationships in the sense of with complete honesty. You know, there's not a full openness. So I think people want to know, how often are other couples having sex? How often are other people, you know, enjoying time together, either together or outside of their marriage? Or what financial issues are coming up, or in-laws? You know, all these things, we're a lot more alike than we like to think. But yes, we're protected by these barriers, because when we come in and sit down with a therapist, you say, this is going on in my relationship, X, Y, and Z. But now how do I navigate that in a world where this is accepted or not accepted? Or do I tell people?
So interesting that you say that, because two of our younger callers earlier, Amy and Ellie, like, they were so refreshing, and they were like, I suppose just a snapshot into that younger generation coming through, where like when they meet people at the offset, a lot of relationships are, you know, quite open, and people are dating, and they're, and Ellie was saying, like, just once you're honest, like, you once you communicate where you are in the relationship, and maybe it's short term, maybe it's long term, like, you know, and once you're just honest with people. And I think that's something that, like, I thought Margaret was so amazing earlier on. I don't know if you heard her, but I said to her, like, what if your husband had just come to you before he left and been honest with you about how he was feeling, how different things could have been? Like, are you often surprised by the lack of communication in relationships?
No, I think it's the number one thing. Communication is the biggest struggle for people time and time again. And the funny thing is that, well, the irony is that if people were able to communicate and understood the tools that we need to communicate in relationships, then everything else that they come up against would be a lot more manageable. Whereas really, without communication, we're thrown back, I suppose. It's a lot, it's an awful lot harder. Like, a lot of couples, when they're at the end of the road, you know, I see couples sometimes that come in because they want to improve their relationship. I see where it's gotten stuck or staggered. But I also see young couples, loads of young couples coming in going, we're thinking of getting married, or we're on the way there, and we just want to realign and make sure that, you know, our values check in. And I think that's incredible. You know, in Ireland, for that to be happening now is amazing. But at the same time, I get people in their 60s coming in and going, we've reared their kids, like, our kids, they've moved out, we're trying to get things in common again, you know, where are we at? Or I have a higher sex drive, they don't have a sex drive anymore. You know, all it's really a range, a variety. But the point is with communication is that if you understand how to communicate with your partner, you're miles ahead, because then you're not sitting there and regret going, if I only knew that, or if you were able to tell me that, or if I felt safe enough. And for some people, to be honest, a lot of people just don't actually have the vocabulary, because it's not what we do here. You know, you don't go to school and you're not taught how to communicate in relationships. You're not taught, you know, how to have healthy relationships, or how to ask for your needs to be met, or when there's a challenge, how do you approach that and still be caring and kind and loving, you know, and supportive, you know, or want to work through challenges. So it's sort of, we're in a tricky phase. So for me, I'm never shocked, because I think you see a huge variety in a therapy room, like regarding ages, lifestyle, where people are just at, you know, in their life.
Do you know from when you first meet a couple whether or not they're going to make it?
Yeah, like, there's a very much, I don't think I'd say 100%. You can never kind of shut people down in that way, but there's definitely a space of when two people are open. Well, first of all, the first thing I ask a couple when they come in is, did you both want to be here? Did you both decide to come here? Or is one person dragging the other? And that's quite big, because, sorry, what I was going to say there was, some people come to me to separate. Some people come to me to dump a partner. Some people come to me to say, I've had an affair and I need to tell this person. As in, they're not saying that to me before they come in, but they end up saying it in the session.
Stop. And you were there when they dropped the bomb.
Absolutely, because, and this is back to the communication, that maybe they've been in a relationship for such a long time that they're actually unable to put the words out there. All their actions are showing, I no longer want to be a part of this dynamic. But
so you're obviously
not
skilled in sitting there, and like, you can probably see it coming. Like, you're like, oh, I know where, like, this is going. Like, this is
absolutely
already had
and
sex
in that
with someone
case,
else. Jen,
how
do you deal with that? Like, oh my god.
Well, a lot of the time is that you're just naming it. You're naming it for couples. You're kind of just providing a safe, secure space where you can say, okay, so what I hear you saying is X, Y, and Z. Does that sound true to you? Is that what you're trying to say to you know, Cheryl or John, is that what you're trying to communicate? And that will usually open up an arena where people can have sometimes a calm or sometimes a really highly live, intense conversation. But equally, it needs to be had. You know, I always say to people, when people, couples come in with anger or aggression or pain, behind all anger is hurt. You know, behind all tears is hurt. And sometimes when there's somebody wants to leave a relationship or somebody wants to tell somebody, you know, I'm not happy sexually in our relationship. You know, I'm committed to you emotionally, but I want somebody else outside to be a part of our intimate circle. Like, that's quite a hard thing to say to somebody if that's never been discussed before. So that can be a space where somebody can really explore the true feelings and depth of a relationship. And sometimes that might be couples who have been together since they're 15 or 16 and they've never, ever been with anybody else. And now they're at a point where maybe they want that. Or it could be that, you know, they're saying, actually, I'm just want more sexual freedom. And I've had multiple relationships and one person's not enough sexually for me. I want my needs met in different ways with different women or men.
I was asking callers earlier on how they might feel if their partner came to them and said, look, you're not enough for me sexually and I want to explore an open relationship. Like, and obviously maybe you can't get into it if you have been in this situation with clients, but I would imagine if a couple is in this position where one person wants an open relationship and the other person doesn't, how do you move forward from that? Because is the person who's reluctant to get into that, is that like the person who's happy the way it is and just wants things to go back the way they were, can they ever get that out of their head that their partner wanted to sleep with other people? And maybe they have this doubt in their mind now that their partner already is sleeping with other people. Can you get past that?
Yeah, so in my mind, I suppose, in my experience, I don't think so. I think it's the beginning, it's the demise of a relationship. If one person is really like, look, that's never entered my mind, it's not on my value map, it's not on my moral map, and the other person resents it, it can be like, okay, this is separation time. You know, this is, we have different ideas of what a relationship looks like. Now, on the other hand, somebody might say, okay, I'm open to that. But if somebody's open to it in order to please somebody, that's toxic. You know, that's not going to a healthy place. And most of the time I would feel that that would end up negatively anyway.
Yes. Yeah. You're just doing it
because I
would imagine some partners be like, oh yeah, no, I'll try it, because they're afraid they're going to leave. So they're like, look, I'll just keep them happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas that, I would feel, not the right approach. You've already lost that person if you're at that place.
Yeah.
It's nice to recognize though and go, okay, you know what? I can meet somebody else that has the same values as me and morals as me regarding a relationship. And I don't need to do this in order to validate myself.
I would imagine it's very, very tricky territory. Jen, I just want to go back to something you mentioned a little earlier on. You were talking about couples coming to you like maybe before they get married. Do you advise that kind of preventative therapy? Like, who would benefit from that?
Everyone. Like, I mean, I think what the funny thing is that we all think we know best, right? So we all grow up in houses and homes and think, right, I know what a relationship should look like. But the thing is, if you're meeting somebody and they're saying, well, I know, then how do you find a medium ground? And the truth is, a lot of the time, relationships are easy and great. You know, opposites can attract, likes can be together. Everything's easy when it's easy. When there's no challenges per se. And I mean that really nicely, as in the early days. Relationships become challenging when you have financial commitments, when you have children, when you're parenting, when one person's sick, when things come up, parents die, in-laws, you know, things that happen. And that's really the testament when you say, you know what, it's how we work together in this. And that all comes back to your values and your morals. And I don't think enough young people kind of go, hey, what are your values and morals? Like, what do you think about long-term relationship? And the young people that are coming to me are doing that. They're saying, right, we're great. We're good because life is good. So actually, what do we feel about money? Like, if I wasn't working for a year or I was on maternity, or if you got sick and I had to support you for a while, or if, you know, I thought it was fully okay that our kids had you know, the run of the house, and they had no kind of boundaries. But you're thinking, actually, I want my kids to be in bed at 7 o'clock every night, and, you know, there's a parent and there's a child. Like, there are a lot of things that we don't think about in the early days, but they're the things that cause a lot of the friction when the real pieces kick in, as in the challenges.
Yeah.
So I honestly think it's amazing. Like, I think it's wonderful. I'm in such awe and admiration for the couples that come to me, all of them, but particularly, you know, they're allowing me into their inner space, their inner world, and to be that vulnerable and let somebody come in and try and help and support you and walk beside you is, I honestly believe, you know, the most courageous thing somebody can do as a couple or individually. And ultimately, everyone wants the best for the people in front of you. So to take that courageous step and say, listen, this is what I feel. I just want to check out that me and him, or me and her, or him and him, are like on the same level, that we understand where we're coming from with this, or this might be really important going forward. I just think that's just so incredible. I mean, it's ahead of the curve. It's ahead of the game.
Yeah, I suppose when you think back, like when I was getting married, you have to do the Catholic Church
marriage course.
Yeah. I think I do remember being asked questions that you're like, oh, I never actually thought about that before. But this sounds a lot more realistic and a lot more relevant. And like, I've got three young kids. I mean, like, nothing prepares you for that taking, you know, the excitement out of a relationship for a time, because it's just it's life, as you said, and things happen, things change, work situations change, family situations change, financial struggles just must be like off the charts, and the stress that can put on a relationship, it just can't be all rosy in the garden all the time. And I think what a lot of people fall into the trap of thinking is that you are always going to want to be tearing one another's clothes off, and it's just not reality.
No, it's not reality. And like, I think relationships go through waves, you know, like there's waves and stages where intimacy is higher and then it might be lower. And it does coincide, though, with the stresses that couples are under or not under. And that's kind of what I was saying earlier about, like, you know, when you're first with someone and things are fresh and carefree and you're both working, you both have income, you can go away, you can do all these wonderful things. That's fun, you know, like that's life. But when, like you said there, all of them other things come on, if you're maybe in a long-term relationship, or, you know, you decide to have children, or, you know, anything like that, it's just normal that it's going to take a bit of extra work and extra effort. And it won't be as easy to sustain the intimacy unless you're supporting each other in different ways, like mentally, emotionally, like in order to have the physical intimacy. A lot of the issue for couples now is that when they're in like maybe relationships and they have kids and stuff, a lot of the time it comes down to the invisible mental load. You know, typically women carry a bit more of an invisible mental load, but the weight of that can really cause big issues in intimacy for couples. And it doesn't mean that they don't love each other anymore. It just means that they're preoccupied with other stuff that takes priority for a while. So if you can share that and communicate about that, you're more likely going to have a healthier, happy sex life. It's a bit like menopause. You know, there's so many times and situations for men and women where you'll come up against this.
Absolutely. So interesting hearing from you tonight, Jen. Before I let you go, what are your top tips for couples in this day and age trying to navigate all the stresses, whether they are, you know, newly together, they're thinking about settling down together, maybe they are dealing with exactly what you just said, like the mental load of a young family, or maybe they're a little bit older. Across the board, what are your top tips for couples?
Yeah, I think the biggest things are, look, to have open communication. What you feel today might not be what you feel in 6 months. You need to check in every 6 months, very mentally, emotionally, physically, individually and together. And that's quite big, actually, you know. What were your needs? What's being met here? Not just from the other, but for yourself. Are you fulfilling yourself before you fulfill the other? And as well, compassion, kindness, empathy. Like, I believe that long relationships require a lot of work, and not in a negative way, but if you think the amount of hours you put into your job and then how successful that is for you, you have to look at the relationship like that. And it's usually one of the first things that we can let slide because we take for granted. So I think it's important to constantly be checking in, being grateful, being thankful, acknowledging the other, the compassion, the kindness when things are hard, and just talking and really agreeing together that, you know, we're going to ride this wave together. We can communicate everything that we need. And even when it's hard and if we feel like we can't, we're going to give each other the respect and the honesty to talk about it and then see what comes of that. So being open.
Final, final question, Jen. Should you always kind of fill your own cup before you go trying to take care of your partner?
1,000%. We're only as good as we give ourselves. You know, filling your own cup is crucial for you to feel fulfilled in yourself. Our partners shouldn't be there to fill every single need. Yes, they fill needs, but not every one. That's too much of a burden, too much of a weight. Whereas you need to be able to say, I can be fully content with myself and anyone I invite into my life is an add-on. So a partner should be an add-on.
Fantastic. 100%. It's been so interesting listening to you tonight. Jen Cameron is a relationship expert. She works as a couples therapist and helps them with their emotional and physical intimacy. You can follow her on Instagram, Jen_Cameron_. That's CAMERON. Jen, thank you so much for your time tonight on Nighttime Talk.
No problem. Thank you so much, Lauren. Thanks for having me on.
Lovely to have you. Wow, really, really enjoyed that chat. Lots more to come now on Nighttime Talk. You can text 087-188-0008. I mentioned at the top of the hour that we're going to be discussing a case over in the UK. Now, we won't go into the details of that actual case, but it's about a female teacher who's being accused of having sexual relationships with underage male students. And it got us thinking about how differently we treat these cases in the media and how we feel about female abusers and male abusers and how seriously we take it. Do you feel we're doing enough to protect young men in this country? And do we take it seriously enough when we hear a story like this? Get involved. I'd love to hear from you. 087-188-0008. This is Nighttime Talk on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
You're listening to Nighttime Talk. Got an opinion?
Hello.
Then get on the phone. 0818 942 105.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Hey, it's Trina Mara, and we've just launched a brand new series called Ukrainian Voices in Ireland. Each week, we'll hear from members of the Ukrainian community about how they've found living in Ireland and what life is like with an ongoing war at home. We'll also be highlighting events and ways to help across the series. And if you would like to take part or support in any way, just email trina.mara@classichits.ie. Ukrainian Voices in Ireland, every week on my show from 10 till 2. And you can also catch up with our podcast. Just search Ireland's Classic Hits Ukrainian Voices.
A sound and vision initiative funded by Comisiún na mBian with the television license fee.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
If you're feeling the chill, get your home winter ready now. Wrapped up nice and cozy with external insulation from First Choice PHC. Reduce your energy bills by up to 50% while increasing the value, warmth and comfort of your home. We're also your first choice for heat pumps, gas and oil. So, make First Choice your only choice for external wall insulation. Significant SEAI grants available. See firstchoicephc.com.
Copper is incredible. Sure, isn't that why Alexander Graham Bell used it? It's a perfect connection to the 19th century. Modern life needs modern technology. Ciro has always been fibre first. They get you up to speed with super fast, reliable, future-proofed fibre broadband. Get it through their retail partners like DigiWeb, Pure, Sky, Vodafone and others at ciro.ie today. Ciro, do life different. Subject to availability and location. Oh, lovely.
Listening to Nighttime Talk
with Recruit.ie, Ireland's new online job search. Search for your dream job today on Recruit.ie.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
You're very welcome back to Nighttime Talk. I'm Lauren O'Sullivan with you again tonight. Like I said it last night, I'll say it again. It's just flying by. I'm having so much fun and you're all being so wonderful and I'm getting lovely messages and all the callers have been great. So thank you so much for getting involved. In this segment now, I just mentioned there before the break, we want to talk about how differently we treat the narrative around female sexual abusers, because it kind of feels like sometimes we don't take it as seriously. Like if you see a headline about a female teacher and a young male student, it's kind of like, hey, what happened there? But if it's a male teacher and a younger girl, like we're very protective and we're like, oh my God, that's horrendous, like absolute scandal. So I want to know why you think that is. Like, or maybe am I way off on that? Is it taken seriously here? Because I feel we're all very naturally protective of girls, but are we protective enough of boys? Even though both scenarios are against the law, like of a, you know, someone underage, whether they're male or female, it just It just feels like we treat female sexual abusers quite differently. We don't think of women as predators the way we might. Or, you know, if something was in the papers, we just wouldn't take it as seriously. So I want to hear your thoughts on that. It got us talking quite a lot in the office earlier on. You can text 087-188-0008. This listener got in touch to say, please don't give out my name on air. I'm a guy who was in secondary school in a rural Ireland in the 80s and 90s. There would have been 100% female teachers. And I very much fancied some of them. And there was one female teacher who knew some of the lads fancied her and would often tease them in her behaviour. To the best of my knowledge, nothing happened between any teacher and pupil. And like, yeah, I had a teacher like that. Thanks for sending that in. Like, there was definitely a teacher in my school who, you know, she was kind of like one of the younger teachers. Like, some of the teachers were a lot older and she was particularly young, right? And probably just out of training college. And I think, you know, was probably only a year or two older than some of the lads in sixth year. And she loved it, loved the attention, and she got plenty of it. And, you know, I think once it's all a bit of a giggle, that's fine. But how would we treat it if it was a male teacher kind of flirting with younger girls? I think you would definitely, you know, I think you'd definitely be more skeptical. You'd be more suspicious. I just don't think it would be allowed. And like, look, you mentioned in your text this was in the 80s and 90s. Yeah, like I'm talking about the 90s, early 2000s as well. I think those kind of situations are just, they just don't happen anymore. Now, maybe I'm wrong. And if you have something you want to share, 087-188-0008, maybe I'm way off there, but I feel like it was a little looser back in the 80s and 90s. So maybe, you know, it does happen nowadays. I hope it doesn't. As we said, it is wrong, but it just feels like we deal with these situations just a little bit different. Get involved. Let me know your thoughts on this. Do we take it as seriously when it is a female abuser? Ian is on the line. Ian, you're very welcome along tonight. Thanks for getting involved in Nighttime Talk.
How are you doing, Lauren? How's it going?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, how are you?
I think I'm a bit of a hypocrite now on this topic, to be honest with you, because if it was a good looking female teacher with a 16-year-old, was my 16-year-old son, say, I'd probably give him a pat on the back. But if it was me, a 16-year-old daughter, and I was a male teacher, I'd kill him. Do you know what I mean? So I don't like, you know, I know it's wrong. I know it's completely wrong. I am a hypocrite, you know, and it's being said to me by my wife. We've just had a baby boy, do you know what I mean? And I kind of wanted a girl because I wanted to have that protection over the girl. To be the protector, to have daddy's princess. But we ended up having a boy, but then like the conversation came up and I'm a hypocrite because I see with my sons, yeah, pat in the back, go out and enjoy yourself, do you know what I mean? But if it was my daughter, no.
Why do you think that is, Ian?
I don't know. I know it's wrong for it to happen. Well, I suppose when I was 17, I went out with a 25-year-old. The 25-year-old like woman, you know what I mean? I went out with her. Like she was.
Did she know you were 17?
I met her in a club. We were in a club, and the day I turned 17, I had my own car. Like, you know what I mean? So I used to when we were going out and back in the 90s, drive to the club with all the lads, and I ended up being with a woman who was 20. She was 24 going on 25. And I was with her for about 3 months, and then I didn't initially tell her what age I was, but then she was told, like, you know what I mean?
Was she absolutely mortified when she found out you were 17?
No, because it continued.
Really?
It continued. Yeah, it continued for like, I was with her for about 3-4 months, like.
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant, so someone told her, here, listen, you know, Ian's only 17, like, did you look 17?
No, I was I was 6 foot odd, like, you know what I mean, and I started work from an early age, so I was around men, you know what I mean? Like, and I was a lot growing up, like, compared to a 17-year-old today, the you'd be talking that I was probably in, like, the of a, I had the mentality of a 25-year-old today, if you know what I mean. The a 17-year-old, I think, like, I have a 17 and 18-year-old, and they're very, very immature, and I see all these friends, and they're very, very immature. I think that when in the 90s, 17-year-olds were more mature than a 17-year-old is today. The because we had life experiences, we were out walking, we were doing this, we were doing that, you know what I mean? The whereas the kids today, they don't, all they do is to see the inside of their bedroom playing games, like, you know, all their friends are online. They don't know what a day's walk is.
So you were a mature 17-year-old. You spotted this girl in the nightclub. Did you have any idea that she was 24 turning 25?
I didn't know. I knew she was older than me. I didn't know what age she was, like, you know, but I knew she was older than me. Like, and then when I was 24, I was with a 37-year-old.
Jeez, Zane, you love the older women. Like,
yeah, like, but it wasn't that I actually, that was my preference, it just happened. Do you know what I mean? It was just people, like, we crossed paths at the times that we crossed paths, and one thing led to another. Like,
so you were 24, she was 37. I'm going to get back to the other relationship in a few minutes, but 24-year-old and she was 37, if that was the other way around, you'd be like, that 37-year-old fella is filthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But why, you know, is it okay for the 37-year-old woman to be dating 24-year-old Ian?
I don't know, like, I know that's, it's, I know, I think it's, I think it's wrong for a man to do it, but for an older woman to be with a younger man, I don't see.
I need to explore this more, I need to know what it is that, like, we just don't see it.
I think a man with a younger woman is, like, he can manipulate, you know, I think manipulate and can take advantage of a younger girl.
Do you not think an older woman can manipulate and take advantage of a younger guy?
Oh, they can. I know they can, you know, but, like, I know I'm being a hypocrite. I know I'm like, big time hypocrite, and I'm, like, I'm on the fence on it, you know, but that's my view, like.
When you were 17 and you hooked up with this 25-year-old who you were in a relationship with for about 3 months, was that your first relationship? Was that the first time you'd been with a woman?
No. I started going out with a girl when I was 14, and I was with her up until mid-16s, like, mid-16.
Okay.
As I said, I started walking. And even at that wasn't a relationship. You know what I mean? That was a girl that, you know.
You were teenagers, you know. On off.
I had an older brother. The industry. I worked in the taxi industry in a taxi company answering the phone. So, I used to go out with the lads, the drivers, the younger drivers, quite regularly at the age of 15, 16, 17, 18 years of age, going nightclubbing and that with them. Do you know what I mean? So, like, I could walk into a nightclub, but at 17, I was able to walk into a 21's nightclub because I looked at, I had the height, the way I dressed, like, you know what I mean, my mannerisms, everything, you know what I mean? Back then, I could pass for a 21-year-old, you know what I mean?
And do you ever think back now, Ian, and think to 17-year-old you and go, like, God, I was so young. Like, you're still a baby at 17. Like, do you think, like, you missed, like, I don't know. Do you have any regrets about growing up so quickly?
No. None whatsoever. I've plenty of regrets in life. Don't get me wrong. I've plenty of regrets in my life. But I don't regret. Being 17 and being with a 25-year-old woman, no?
And maturing quite young. Like, you just mentioned you've become a dad, you have a little boy. Like, when he's 17, yeah, do you think he'll be, you know, mature enough to go out into the big bad world and date and work full time? You'd be happy enough to send him on his way?
I'm hoping that he will grow up with them models. Like, you know, I'm hoping the maybe I when I wouldn't want him to be getting into a relationship with a 24-year-old when he's 17. But that was just me, and that was the way I grew up, and that was my life, you know. And things will change. Probably I'll have a different view when he becomes like, I've a 15-year-old, I've a stepson who's 18, I've a 25-year-old stepdaughter. The you know, the boys, you know, like, I kind of give them a pat on the back and go out. But when it comes to my stepdaughter now, and she's going to have a little girl, you know, have a granddaughter, you know what I mean? And, you know, I'll be the protector. I'll be the protector for them, you know.
Very interesting talking to you, Ian. Thanks so much for your time on Nighttime Talk tonight. If you're cool to hang on, please do. You never know. We might, you know, something someone else says you might want to come back to. But if you have time, hang on there. I want to bring Kathleen in now. Hi, Kathleen.
Yeah, hello. Good evening.
Good evening, Kathleen. Nice to have you on Nighttime Talk tonight. Kathleen, I was asking earlier on, like, why it is that we feel a bit more protective of girls. Why, like, if there was an older guy hanging around a younger female student, we would all be out for blood.
Mortified,
you just heard Ian say there that, like, he would pat his son on the back if he hooked up with an older woman. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I've not got any boys, but I do have a grandson. Now, my grandson is 19 now. But when he would be about 15, something like that, there was an older woman hanging out with him.
When he was 15?
Yeah. She was hanging. He's a very good looking, a lovely guy, a lovely line. Not just saying that to my grandson, but I was mortified.
How old was she,
Kathy? And no matter what, you know, I'd say she'd be, at least, I can't swear to her age, but she was a lot older than my grandson.
So he was 15, and, like, just to bear in mind, the legal age for consenting is 17 here in Ireland. So there was just a bit of flirting, but wholly inappropriate as far as you're concerned.
Yeah. Well, his mother, you know, she was a bit, you know, she said, look at her, look at the way she's dressed and look at the way she's, you know, hanging out with my son. Like, it's a long story, but if it was mine, okay, if I had a son, I'd want to know, I'd be very concerned these days because especially if the young fellow is good looking, you know, and dresses well, and you know yourself, there are women out there that wouldn't think twice. I think it's terrible.
Yeah, and I mean, young fellows, I'm
older, I've had young men come after me, and I said, no way. I said, come on.
We're all worried about these really good-looking 15-year-olds. I'd say there's L1s out there being to the ugly 15-year-olds as well. We need to protect all of them, Kathy.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Of course we do. And, I mean, it's immorally wrong. You know what I mean? Have they not been brought up right?
I mean, come on, you don't do that. I know you said it's a long story, right? And I don't want you to get into too many details if you're not comfortable doing
so. Yeah, of course,
But, no. What did your son know this older lady? Like, was she involved? Your grandson. Was she a person of authority, or was she like someone that she just...
No, she was just somebody, so a friend. She was friends with the family.
Right, okay.
But they used to go camping and... You know, holidays. So no. You just go in a group.
Sorry. Okay. Sorry.
I'm a bit weird. Maybe I shouldn't have picked him.
No, listen, we'll say no more.
Because he is family.
Yeah. So look, anyways, this woman was hanging around, made you uncomfortable, made your grandson's mother uncomfortable. Here's the thing as well, Kathleen, right? Because I feel like going back to the hypocrisy of the whole situation, like we were discussing with Ian, we've all known men that were like, oh yeah, he's a bit dodgy. Oh yeah, like keep an eye out for him, right? Particularly as women, like we've got our spidey senses. We know, a mile away, the fellas that you're like, you know, listen.
Oh yeah.
He's a filthbag. Yeah. Stay away from him, right? We all do it. But we don't seem to have that about women. Now,
I don't know why,
but like...
I can look at my life with my dad, and my dad would have been... both my parents now have sadly passed away, but they would have been very protective over me, but not my brother. I had an older brother. Now, they weren't as protective over my brother the way they would have been over me, being a girl.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can relate with that.
And what I'm wondering, what was leading me on to, Kathleen, is that, like, so, like, if as Ian said, like, if there was a fella sniffing around your daughter or your granddaughter, you would be out, like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Like, you just wouldn't be having any of it. But...
No, for either of them, I treat them equally. You have to look out for them.
Totally. How do you, though, like, what I'm interested to know is, how do you approach a woman sniffing around a teenage boy? Like, and again, you don't have to get into details, but what I'm wondering is, like, how did you broach that with the family friend? Like, did you just call her out on it? Was it a bit awkward? Like,
and No, I didn't. I just hope that, he would back away. You know, he would.
Was he into her?
Yeah,
he was kind of.
Well, the way she was, well, because she was older and she was flirting with him, you know, and it was the way he was looking at her. But thankfully, I don't think he would have took her up. You know.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of a way.
Hopefully
I think
it
would have been a bit more cop on.
Yeah. Ian, are you still there?
I am.
Ian, I was just wondering there, like, you wouldn't think twice about, like, running at a fella who's sniffing around your daughter or your granddaughter. But how, like, I feel like it would be very, very awkward to call out a woman for that kind of predatory behaviour like Kathleen was describing. Would you approach it the same as you would with a man?
Well, no, I don't think I would. No, it would be, I'd be seeing blood. I'd be seeing red, kind of, you know, if it was a man sniffing around with a 15-year-old boy. Or a girl, whereas I wouldn't be going at a woman the same way as I'd be going at a man, if you know what I mean. But my wife probably would.
Well, I was kind of thinking that. I was like, you know, when Kathleen was talking about her 15-year-old grandson at the time, I was like, I have a little boy. Oh, I wouldn't hold back. But my point is, though, as I suppose in general society, we don't have our guard up about women as much as we do about men. Sure, we don't.
We don't, no. And, like, it's even to the fact, like, I look on Facebook and I see these stings, not the sting operations where they have men, you know, that have been speaking to kids online.
Oh, yeah, and the vigilante groups that trap them. Yeah.
I follow a lot of them on Facebook. And I don't think I've actually seen one woman. I don't, like, in probably the 100 maybe or more videos that I have seen posted on Facebook for them stings, I don't think I've ever seen a woman being as being the predator. It's always men.
Yeah.
Because it's you know, the men are sleazy compared to women. You know what I mean? Like it's not happening every day of the week where women are chasing, you know what I mean? And maybe it is, but it's just not being highlighted. But it is happening every day of the week where men are chasing young girls. And, like, that damaging young girls for life. Do you know what I mean?
Without a shadow of a doubt, yeah, there's more cases against men. But I would absolutely love to hear from men tonight on this. 087-188-0008. Men who have been made feel uncomfortable, men who've been approached by women who maybe, like, have been felt they've been put under pressure by older women. Like Ian just said there, men are sleazy in comparison to women. If you've ever felt, like, intimidated or harassed or uncomfortable on a night out by a woman, I would love to hear from you tonight. 087-188-0008. Because I said to Kathleen there, Ian, that, like, as women, like, our senses are up all the time. Like, you are always on your guard. Like, unfortunately, that is just the way the world is. You're always kind of, like, on a night out, like, in a disco. I remember as a teenager, like, you dance in a circle and, like, lads get too close. Lads are jumping in behind your friend. You move in around. You protect her because it's just, how we grow up. It's the difference in being male and female. I don't think you've probably ever felt intimidated on a dance floor in your life, have you?
Me?
Yeah.
No, no. The and I would be the one, I would be a protector of women. Of women, do you know what I mean? I would, if I seen something going on the street or on a dance floor and someone was being sleazy or was being a predator towards a woman, I would say it, and I done it, and I actually got myself into trouble last year in town. I actually became very violent because someone became violent with me because I pulled them up on it last year in town, where a man was, after having a few drinks, and he was sitting there and he was singing a song, and the kids that were there were 10 girls, 10, 11, 12 years of age, and he was serenading them. And my wife was heavily pregnant at the time, and she noticed it, and she's like, my son was there, and it became very confrontational between him and me. And then he said something to my wife, and he said to my wife, I just jumped up and I saw red, and I hurt him. Guards were called, and luckily enough, the girls that were there, they did stand up and say, yes, well, he was being, you know, sleazy towards us, and that man's wife, then she pulled him up on it, and then he started getting smart with my wife, and he called my wife names, and he got a few digs. But the few digs that I gave him, I opened him up, and he was bleeding, you know, so, but I haven't heard any more of that, thank God, like, you know what I mean, but it could have went the complete opposite way, like.
Yeah, and like, look, I'm sure there's people listening, Ian, that are like, oh, Jay's fair play to Ian, but like, it's like, violence is never the answer, unfortunately. But as you said, you just saw red, and that is what a lot of people do when they see men acting in a predatory manner. And what I'm asking you tonight is, why don't we take female abusers, predators, as seriously? Like, Ian was so upfront from the get-go saying, like, I would pat my son on the back if he was hooking up with an older woman, but I would see red if someone approached my daughter. Let me know your thoughts tonight. 087-188-0008. Steve, you're on Nighttime Talk. Good to have you.
I'm absolutely fuming. I'm absolutely fuming now with the two callers that you have on air. Firstly, what I want to say is that men get the raw end of the deal again, and the double standards and the hypocrisy is just absolutely outrageous that's being displayed tonight. How do you approach a woman who is hanging around, sniffing around your underage child? You go over and you tell her, you come near my child, I will break your bleeding legs. It's as simple as that. That is a child. Ian, you would pat your child on the back for going off with an older woman, allowing an older woman to take advantage of a boy. Let's not forget that boys mature a lot slower than girls. And boys think with their dicks. We know that. So it's much easier for women to take advantage. Much easier for women to take advantage of boys. Hold on a second, I'm not finished. You guys have talked enough rubbish tonight. Men, and especially little boys, men, no, hold on a second, no, hold on a second, hold on.
No, I only wanted to...
Young boys, young boy. I don't care, I don't...
Whoa. Listen, there's no need to be shouting and roaring, right? Like, Steve is on just to make a point. No, just one sec. Steve came on, I asked him to make his point, he's making it. When he's done, Kathleen, you can get involved again, okay? Because otherwise, we can't hear anyone. So, Steve, another couple of minutes, and I'll bring it back to Kathleen then. Thanks very much.
Okay. Yeah. So over in America last year, there was over 2,000 convictions of female teachers with underage students. And those students ranged from the age of eight years of age up to 16. Now, that's 2,000 convictions. Now, as we know, young boys, why did priests have sex with young boys? Why was that a big thing? Why not young girls? Because I don't think all these priests were gay. It's because young boys don't tell. Because young boys do think with their dicks, and it's an unfortunate thing, and they think it's all such great fun. Well, what they don't realize is they're being taken advantage of. I'm going to give you a little something. I was in the cinema years ago. I told this story to Niall a long time ago, and I was watching a movie. It was called The Most Fertile Man in Ireland, and the movie was about a guy who had the most fertile sperm. He could get a stone pregnant. And when they found this out, all the women around the town wanted to have sex with him. There was this one particular woman who wanted to have sex so she could have a baby. He said, no. So she roofied him. He woke up in the bed, and there she is, straddling him while he's tied to the bed. The entire audience went into an uproar thinking this was hilarious. Reverse those damn roles. Put a woman in that bed and have a man on top of her raping her. There'd be nobody laughing. And this is the exact same type of scenario as you patting your son on the back.
Okay, Kathleen, just want to bring you back in there. What did you want to say to Steve?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that basically it could have been something that was blown out of all proportion, in fairness. And I should have never have said about my family, you know, my grandson. And Steve, I couldn't do anything about it. The circumstances...
Kathleen, look, do you know what? We asked you... You came on, you said, look, my grandson, there was an older lady. Don't worry about it. It's all okay. And I don't think Steve is particularly having a go at that situation that you didn't handle.
No, it was Ian.
But I think what I was wondering was, like, how do you approach a woman? And, like, Steve, this is the thing, is that, like, we don't see it the same. It's not that people are standing back kind of giggling about it. It's that we're just like...
They are.
It's a bit... I don't know. I would just feel... Go on.
Do you watch South Park?
I don't know.
Right, okay. So there's a particular episode that takes the piss out of this very situation. So basically there's one of the little boys, and he's about 10, but his younger brother, who's only about 4 or 5 years of age, is having sex with his teacher, who's a woman. And when the older brother finds out, he goes to the police station and he says, I want to report a teacher for having sex with a student. And all the police officers stand up and they go, oh my God, what's this? And then when they find out that it's a woman having sex with an underage boy, you know, the police officers go, nice. Why would you report that? In other words, pointing out the damn double standards. Because if it was a girl that was being molested by an adult, you can probably tell I'm really, really angry at this. There's no way either party should get away with it. And I find
I don't think anyone's suggesting get away with it. I think it's like what we're asking is...
Ian did. Ian said I pat my son on the back. Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Yeah.
And what else would you do? What else would you do?
What
else would you do? What you said you wouldn't let them away. You're just telling me now that you would let them away with it or wouldn't. Because patting your son on the back is letting her away.
No, but Steve was also... Ian was saying like he's 17-year-old.
You actually listen to my words. I said that I'm being a hypocrite about things. Because...
Yes, you are.
It is wrong in what I'm saying, but that's
wrong. Wrong. You're failing your child. You're failing your son. You have the old princess syndrome on your daughter. Oh, we have to protect the girls. The poor little girls. You know, and that's one of the biggest things, that you think that women need all of this protection all the time. Women can help themselves. Women can help themselves. Not little girls, but women can help themselves. Not every woman needs a white knight like you coming running in. That's also another point that just pisses me off.
Oh, I get that. I know that.
You understand that little boys don't report sexual abuse. I would say statistically, well, no, not statistically, off the books, there is more boys sexually assaulted in this world than young girls.
I agree with you on that. Yeah, I do agree with you. And who are you?
Who's at fault?
It's not them. Like there's more men doing it to them than there is women.
No, absolutely not. The statistics on that in the States, it's all I know. I don't know your statistics. It's 56-44% from 44% of sexual abuse. It's nearly 50-50.
You have to agree with me on that one, that it's the men that's actually abusing the boys. It's men abusing boys.
No. Did you not hear what I just said? Did you not hear what I just said? Did you know that, I think it was 2 years ago in New York City, that there was a website that was specifically for women to sexually abuse young boys? Female paedophilia is on the increase. It's not even that it's on the increase. People are noticing it more because men have always been called paedophiles and scumbags and perverts and whatever. Women were very clever about it. As we know, men do perpetrate the vast majority of sexual assault towards children. but women also equally perpetrate physical abuse more than men towards children.
Okay.
So women can just be as big as assholes as men.
Okay, Stephen, Ian, cool it there for 1 second. We'll just bring Marion in. Marion, good to have you on Nighttime Talk.
Hi, I'm just caught on the spot and I didn't hear your previous guest prior to Stephen as what they actually said.
That's okay.